And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you, along with Bonnie Berman. Florida's Take Stock in Children program is renowned for giving deserving low-income students a chance at college and a career. It supported some 18,000 college-bound kids and has ambitious plans to expand. Joining us is Take Stock in Children president and CEO Emilio Alonso Mendoza. Welcome to you, sir. Thanks for coming to our studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Take Stock Miami Program Student Services Manager and Mentor, Marlon Paris Lawson. She's played many roles in the Take Stock effort. And with us is North Miami Senior High 12th grade student, Francis Morenci, who seeks a career as an international human rights attorney.
Pretty ambitious.
For being with us. Yes. Let's start with you, Emilio. Tell us about Take Stock in Children, who you are, what your mission is, how many years you've been around, and just what you can tell us.
Well, I've been around a long time, but not in Take Stock.
Okay.
I want to thank both of you for having us. You're my lunchtime companions, both of you, for many, many years. Take Stock began in 1995, and the formula is very, very simple. We take students who are on the free or reduced lunch program in school. They make a covenant that they are going to be crime and drug-free, keep a 2.5 grade point average, and more importantly, and we'll talk about that later, I'm sure, meet with a mentor once a week, and throughout 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, all the way to graduation from high school. At the end, if they have fulfilled all these covenants, we pay for their education, for their college education, through the Florida prepaid program in any college or university in the state of Florida.
Of their choice.
Of their choice, absolutely. To date, we've served over 18,000 students and growing.
Now, Take Stock programs, are in Monroe, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, but are they in all 67 counties?
In all 67 counties. We have a Take Stock office. I'm very, very proud of that. The Florida legislature recognizes it, and they're a great source of support. And what's wonderful to see is that this program has expanded and has continued to deliver wonderful results, and it's because of the staff that we have throughout the whole 67 counties. They have a great outlook on education, and they're wonderful with all the students we serve.
And speaking of staff, with us is Marlon Paris Lawson. Marlon, you said that although you've worn many hats at Take Stock in Children, you derive your greatest joy from mentoring. Tell us why.
First of all, I want to say thank you for having us today. I enjoy the aspect of being an active participant in transforming lives and observing the students as they come in into the program and seeing their innocence, their helplessness, their vulnerability, and watching through our work and efforts, watching them transform into such an amazing beings. That is a gift that cannot be compensated in any other fashion. Having the opportunity, while we have our local program serves 502 students, being a mentor to one individual and having that one-on-one time with them. For many of our students, we serve both a maternal figure or a paternal figure, or just having somebody to call their own, somebody who has the time to someone who can sit and speak with them for 35, 40 minutes at a time. It's just, it's empowering.
Now, you only have one mentee at a time, is that right?
Actually, I have several mentees.
Oh, okay.
But there are volunteers mentors.
Yes,
also.
I have several. I have, I was hoping we could have both a male and a female, but I was told we could only have one. So therefore, I chose Francis, who has an amazing story. I chose him because I have two girls, and many of the young men in my program, I often say I know now the reason why I wasn't blessed with a son, because God wanted to reserve all this excess love to share with each and every one of them, because they're all truly special.
Francis, let's bring you into this. It's good to have you here. Congratulations on all your achievements.
North Miami High, he's a 12th grader.
Yes. Tell us about, I was particularly touched by your description of the two roads you might have taken in your life. Please describe them for us.
Well, I'd like to first thank all of you for this wonderful opportunity. Well, everyone is faced with two roads, and me, those roads were well-defined. One road was a road that was outlined by my community, a life full of drugs, hate, violence, gangs, and it's just, that road was so vivid in my life, and everyone's life in my community. But there was another road that I wasn't able to be exposed to, I wasn't able to see, but having a mentor, I was able to see that road and understand that my life wasn't destined to be on the road of adversity, to be on the road of violence or gang violence or even drugs. But on the other hand, I was able to see the road of success, that I was able to see my higher calling to defend other people, to fight for other people's rights. And Ms. Lawson, my mentor, has exposed me to that road very well.
I think we have a politician budding here.
Yes, we do. He's well on his way.
Yes. Tell us why Ms. Lawson is so special to you.
Well, I remember my first time seeing Ms. Lawson. I walked into the room in my counselor's office in middle school, and she was just so full of energy. She blew up like a firework as I opened the door, and she was like, hey, wow, I'm going to be with you for the next few years. And as time passed on, she said something so profound to me. She said that, you're like a son to me, and I'm your second mother. And a lot of people may say that to someone, but no one meant it like Ms. Lawson did.
Is there any difficulty with your peers at all, with the path that you chose?
Of course, there are friends that you have when you're younger, and you, on the road of adversity, you have certain friends, and those friends may not be the best friends for you. And once you choose a life that's better than the one that you have, then there's a sense of jealousy, and there's a sense of anger that they see that I don't want to hang out with them anymore.
That you're a cop out, or
yes, but they've gotten over it, and most of my friends now, I've had old friends from middle school who saw that I've changed, and they've seen that change as an opportunity for them to change.
Wow. So you've inspired
definitely
many of your peers.
Our yes. telephone number, if you'd like to join in with a comment or a question, it's easy enough. 1-800-743-WLRN, 1-800-743-9576, or if you're a little shy, that's radio@WLRN.org email.
And Emilio, why don't we get back to you? We'll talk more about Take Stock in Children. What is the graduation rate of your mentees?
Well, that was the incredible news. Right now, we were lucky enough to have been chosen for a national grant, an I-3 grant, an investment in innovation grant. The results are outstanding. We have, right now, we have a 99% graduation rate.
Oh, my. Congratulations
and,
to you.
Yeah. And in no small part is it because of the relationship with the mentors. You know, we're here today because this is National Mentoring Month.
Yes.
And we want to take this opportunity to thank the thousands of mentors we have across the state. We have presently over 7,400 mentors in the program throughout the state. And Marilyn is wonderful. She's a wonderful example of what a mentor is and should be. But what's more wonderful is that we have 7,400 Marlins around the state helping students.
And those are all volunteer positions?
All of them volunteers. Mm. All of them volunteers. And they every place that I visit, every county that I visit, every program that I visit, you see that same fire, you see that same commitment. And I've always said this is the one thing that makes this program the success that it is, the commitment of the mentors and the commitment of the staff that we have throughout the state.
Tell us about this business with DMV, that when you renew your license, you can donate a dollar or two to take stock.
Well, you already said it. That's what it is.
That must be.
So when you renew your license, it's one of those.
And it just began.
That's quite a coup. A lot of organizations would love to have that.
Well, it's some of those things that happen because of the respect that we enjoy in Tallahassee. And we applied. We were chosen. And now we have this opportunity. It's been a very quiet launch. We're going to be more public with it. But all of you who are renewing your license now, you can check and make a contribution and make and ensure that another child in Florida has a great opportunity, or a student has an opportunity to fulfill their dreams and attain a much-needed college education.
Now, there's private and public funds involved. I suppose a big part of your job is pursuing the private side.
Absolutely. But it's a wonderful public-private partnership because we have a match with the state of Florida for the scholarships. For every dollar you donate, it gets matched by the state of Florida through the STARS program, the Florida prepaid program. What's challenging for us is that the growth of our program is dependent on this growth of scholarships. For every student we bring in, right up front, we purchase a scholarship for them to attend college. So there is that mandate. And so all over the state of Florida, our staff and corporate supporters make this possible through their support of our program.
Marlon, we heard Francis tell us about you. Now, why don't you tell us about him, a little about what it's been like working with him?
Where do you plan to go to school also?
You want to answer that?
Oh, definitely. Well, I plan on going to Syracuse University in New York.
Of course.
Well, I often boast about being a proud mother of I have two biological children, and 500 adopted kids, and I often say that I'm the proud mother of 502. I started mentoring because a lot has been given to me growing up. I've had a lot of influential people in my life and who have helped me to get to this point. And I started out as a way of giving back because, as you know, as the saying goes, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I started out to give back, to make a difference in the life of a child. And to my amazement, the life that has been changed has been mine through interactions with amazing people, young minds like Francis. Francis, when I first met Francis, he was very shy. And I remembered going to his school and meeting with them as a group and at first. And he was always very quiet, very reserved. And I spoke about a gift that is given to us as mentors, and that is I have watched Francis from middle school transform from being a non-vocal person into being an animated, funny, well-spoken, very articulate, super...
He's very self-confident also.
Very self-confident, and... he has a drive that is so contagious that when you're in his presence, if you're not driven, then you need to step aside. And it's like when I look at him, I see a reflection of what my son would be or what I would want my son to be. And as I know he's preparing to go to college, I'm feeling the maternal instinct. Feeling like part of me feel like, wow, this isn't happening because it happened too fast. But another side of me feels so elated because I see this young man is getting ready to make the transition of his life, and yet he is ready. There are so many of young people like Francis who are getting ready to make a major transition in their lives, and most of whom are not as ready. But this is an eagle that I am so ready to just, you know, literally probe off the nest.
Right.
Because he has the wings, and his wings are strong, and he's going to make it no matter what.
So. We're talking about Take Stock in Children, and we have a couple of listener calls. This is Daisy. She's in Miami. Hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say thanks to the Take Stock in Children program. I I'm honored to say that I don't have as much debt. As a matter of fact, I don't have any undergraduate debt to my name right now, and it's in large part due to people like, you know, you guys that are helping us out out of inner city schools and things like that. I went to Florida International University for both my bachelor's and my master's, and I can definitely say that this programs like these have a huge impact on people like me who don't come from environments where people go to school, go to college, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, my question is just, what can I do to become a mentor if that's possible?
Well, Daisy, I am so elated that you called, and I so thank you. What you can do is send me an email at Marlyn, Marlyn, dot Paris, Paris, at mdc.edu, and we'll get you started. We love mentors. We love people like you, our alumni. We know the benefit of you going through the program, and you can be an effective mentor just by sharing of your experience and giving hope to those who are coming after you. And we do have a motto that says, teach one, reach one. And we would love for you to join our mentoring family so that you can reach to others and empower their lives just as your mentors in this program has empowered you. Thank you so much for calling. And please do call me, email me. You can reach me also at 305-237-7367. That's 305-237-7367. We have a great need for mentors. We have a large number of students that we're planning on bringing on board, but without a mentor, that may not be a reality.
What's the most important quality of a mentor? Patience?
A good listener. A good listener. A non-judgmental person. And a great listener. Because more often than not, we think of mentoring as, I'm coming to do the speaking. And at times, when you visit with a student, they may need for you to say a few words. But at other times, they just need you to listen. And yes, patience goes a long way. However, being a good listener, and you have to keep in mind that many of our students come from home where parents are working two or three jobs. So there isn't really an interactive adult to really listen to their day's challenges or achievements. So someone to call their own, and I think that's the greatest gift, and that's what bonds us together, is our ability to listen. Know when to speak and know when to just listen. Hmm. But most importantly, not being judgmental, because many of our students come in with stories that will just rip your heart. And understanding where they're coming from and just being an active servant in their lives.
Mm. It's beautiful.
There's one thing I hear.
Thanks for your call, Daisy.
There's one thing I hear all over the state, and Marlyn says about listening. Because you listen, you learn. And you find that most of the mentors you talk to, they say, you know, I get more out of my mentee, I think, than he gets from me because of this interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a lot of people confuse mentoring with tutoring. Mm-hmm. There could be some tutoring involved, but it's basically what Marlene said. It's,
and let's take another caller. Excuse me. This is Candace in Miami. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Sounds like a fantastic program. One of the question that I have is when you were setting the criteria for the mentees, I was struck by the grade point average requirement of 2.5, and I was wondering how you determine that. I find that to be pretty low for a program like this.
I'm so glad you called, Candace. Now, there are tons of programs out there that are targeting many different populations. And we target students with, first of all, we seek students with potential. That's first and foremost. We may have a student with a 2.1 GPA and consider them for our program, and I'll tell you why. GPAs don't always tell the story. When you have the privilege of reading through applications, tons of applications, and you read about these students' stories, and then when you look at their academic standing, you may have a student with a 2.1 GPA. However, they have a perfect score on the FCAT, 5 and 5, 5 on math and 5 in reading. And when I see that, that tells me that this student has tremendous potential but is lacking the resources that our program is lacking the motivation and is lacking the resources that our program can provide. These are the students that really thrive. We're not designed to service the high achievers because we understand that there are academic scholarships for those high achievers. Mm-hmm. We look at those students. Our program is designed to service those students with potential but who are on the fence, that without intervention, without a committed mentor could fall on the other side of the fence. Not by their choice, but just due to the lack of discouragement, the lack of hope. We give hope.
And also, Francis?
Also, being with TikTok and Children, I see that the program looks at the entire spectrum of a student. Myself, in middle school, I believe I was at the board, a 2.5 GPA. But TikTok and Children looks at the potential of the student. Now, graduating high school, I'm graduating with a 5.7 GPA. Mm-hmm. And one of the
5.7.
Most,
I didn't know you could go that
high. Either did I.
And one of the most rigorous programs in the world, the International Baccalaureate Program. And without TikTok and Children giving me hope in the future or giving me the strength to carry on with my education, I wouldn't have been able to be at the position where I am now.
I also want to ask you, Francis, and that's a great explanation, why you want to be an international human rights attorney.
Well, I've always been at the sidelines, looking at people suffer. And it started with my community where I've seen someone die. And when I was younger, about 5 years old, I was walking at night with my brother and we were in an apartment building. And in the hallway, there was someone with a bullet wound in the head. And that was one of the instances where I was able to see where I could have helped someone. And not in a sense of in the medical field, but helping someone, speaking to them, giving them inspiration. And I feel that with being an international human rights attorney, I can help people who suffer daily with human trafficking, with getting their rights taken away from them, stripped from them every single day. I can be that strength. I can be that voice to allow them to see that there is hope and there is a future for themselves. And negotiating with different governments is what I was called to do.
Hmm. That's great. Do you want to give contact information? We're almost out of time for all of you, Marlon.
Yes. We are currently in the process of selecting 200 students. We're looking to grow by 200. One is that we have to have scholarships available for each of those students. In addition to that, we have to have a mentor assigned to each and every one of those students. We know that there are a lot of compassionate people out there. So if someone is interested in mentoring, you may call me at 305-237-7367. That's 305-237-7367. Or you may email me your interest at marlyn.paris@mdc.edu. That's marlyn.paris@mdc.edu.
And Emilio, perhaps some corporate or foundation angels are out there. How can they get in touch with
you? Absolutely. They can call. Actually, they can. You forgot their website. We have a wonderful website, www.takestalkingchildren.org. And in there you can get all the information you need. And, of course, you can contact Marlin for the Miami program.
Well, we certainly want to thank you. It's been a very uplifting conversation with you.
Inspirational.
Take Stock in Children. We've been speaking with the president and CEO, Emilio Alonso Mendoza, also program student services manager and mentor, Marlin Paris Lawson, and Miami Senior High 12th grade student and next president of the United States, Francis Morency. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Food and Dining up next. And it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. That was a very uplifting experience.
It was. It was inspirational. It was touching. It was really beautiful.
Well, the big game is Sunday. The 49ers are favored over the Baltimore Ravens. But no matter which team you root for, the Super Bowl party is imperative. The game is in New Orleans, of course. So chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastineimer is on hand with party tips and such, along with some legendary New Orleans figures. Linda, will you lay the points and take the Niners?
Sure, whatever that means.
Big better you are,
yeah,
Linda.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. Okay, so let me ask you something. What's the second most eating day in America? Of course.
Thanksgiving is first, right?
And Super Bowl.
Oh.
Okay, and that's really a major food day, and our guests have a special food game planned for us. Lally Brennan and T. Martin. They're the co-owners of the New Orleans famous Commander's Palace. They also own Cafe Adelaide and the Swizzle Bar. So we're having Super Bowl bash New Orleans style today. So let's welcome them. Welcome, Lally Brennan.
Hi, Linda. How are you? It's so great to talk to you.
I haven't seen you in so long. Nice to talk with you, Lally.
It's been way too long.
Well, I'll have to get over there.
Or us your way.
Well, that'd be good. And how about you, T. Martin? How are you doing?
Wonderful. Hello there, Linda.
Nice to see you. It's been a while since you've been over to Miami.
Yes, but we're trying to sneak over for the food and wine or maybe just a good fun weekend soon.
Sounds good to me. Okay, and we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Join us. What's your favorite Super Bowl food? Or do you have any questions for Lally Brennan or T. Martin? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email, that's radio@WLRN.org.
And also joining us by Skype is our favorite wine person, and that's Fred Tasker.
He always makes a noise.
He's playing the drums, I think.
Fred, what are you doing with your glass today? We heard some noises there.
All I can say is go Ravens.
Uh-oh.
No, actually, I can hear you, but I can't hear our guests, so you'll have to keep me from interrupting them.
Okay.
We'll work on that technically.
Right. Okay. We'll let you know what happens. Well, Lally Brennan, let's start with, has the party already started in New Orleans? What's going on there?
Linda, there's always a party in New Orleans. But, you know, the crowds are coming into town, and so we have our Mardi Gras We had Mardi Gras last weekend. They moved it up one weekend. It was supposed to start this weekend, but because of the Mardi Gras, they moved it up one weekend. And then we have all the Super Bowl this weekend, and then next Tuesday starts Mardi Gras. So instead of calling it Super Bowl weekend in New Orleans, everybody's calling it Super Gras in New Orleans. So, yes, yes, yes. And it couldn't be lovelier. It's magnificent in the city right now. It's sunny and cool and full of locals running around having a good time and lots of fans and people who are in town just because it's Super Bowl and they don't really care about the game.
Well, okay, so what you're telling me is you've got parades for Mardi Gras going on at the same time that I think you have some Super Bowl parades as well. Yes?
Yes, yes, we do, exactly. There, the Parish Metairie, which is right outside of Orleans Parish, they have parades this weekend, and there is a Super Bowl parade also. So it is a big old party. And also, you know, there are all these tents that have been put up down by the French Quarter and the river for concerts, and just, as I said, something's happening every minute that you can imagine right now.
Well, I guess you're doing more than nachos and chili.
Yes, we are.
Well, let's ask T. T. Martin, what are you going to be serving in your various restaurants for Super Bowl?
Well, it's funny you said nachos because Chef decided to get a little funny, and he's doing the thing called the Creole nacho at lunch. So we've got a little beet of beer glazed pork belly over some spiced hog crackling and a little pickled
corn
chow chow.
You hit Joe Cooper's stomach right away.
Yeah, so we are doing a little bit of that, but, you know, it's New Orleans, so we've got some crawfish boiled beignets going on. And
Wait, sorry, say that again?
Beignets, yeah.
Crawfish
boiled
beignets?
Beignets, yeah.
Wow.
So we've, you know, keep
finding. Now, to explain, some people might not know. I know you all know, but they may not know what a beignet is.
Well, sort of a New Orleans and sort of French version of a donut, you know, frequently, usually served sweet with sugar over the top, powdered sugar. But so we're doing a savory version here with crawfish and andouille. And crab oil is like a very spiced liquid that we boil seafood in.
Uh-huh.
And so we're giving it that sort of a flavor. And with the buttermilk beignet and put all that together on a little crawfish boil aioli on top. And, you know, that's some pretty good football watching food right there.
What about the Swizzle Stick Bar?
Oh, well, you know, I'll tell you what. So one of our other places is Swizzle Stick Bar, and also our newest place, Sobu.
Oh, you have another place, Sobu?
Yeah.
How's that spelled?
S-O-B-O-U stands for South of Bourbon. So we decided to have our own bowl, and we're calling it the Cocktail Bowl. So the three restaurants paired food with cocktails, and everybody's going around town voting on which one's the best, and they're going to win a dine around. It's just kicks for us, you know. And so the Swizzle Stick, for example, is doing their we all do a rip-off of the same dish that we do here at Commander's called Shrimp and Tasso Henneken, which is, you know, shrimp with a little stuff with a little bit of Tasso ham, which is a seasoning ham, a little pickled okra and five pepper jelly, and a hot sauce Beurre Blanc. So Adelaide's version of that dish is called the Shrimp and Tasso Corn
Dog.
Let's
tell people that Adelaide is Cafe Adelaide.
Yes.
Yes,
you're right.
Okay.
We have all our nicknames. Cafe Adelaide and the Swizzle Stick Bar. So they do the Shrimp and Tasso Corn Dog, and they're pairing that with a real daiquiri, which is just the real thing, which is
shrimp
fresh lime juice,
corn dog, and tasso, yeah.
And
yeah.
Daiquiri. What kind of daiquiri?
Just, well, the original. The original daiquiri, which was originally made in Cuba, is very simple. It's three things. It's rum and fresh lime juice and sugar, not overly sweet, and on the rocks, not frozen. So a real daiquiri. And then over at Sobu, we're doing shrimp and tasso pinchos with a tequila cocktail we call Sunset in the Courtyard. And that our chef is from Puerto Rico there, and pinchos are like a street food, like meat on a stick sort of a thing. So he does a shrimp version
of
this one.
T, I'm not sure if Fred Tasker is hearing all of these wonderful drinks. You're talking about daiquiri and what was the other one?
I think he's booking a ticket.
Tequila.
No, it was pisco, or what was the other drink you were having?
Well, this one is actually, it's called Sunset in the Courtyard, and that one is a tequila drink.
Sunset in the Courtyard, a tequila drink. Fred, can you hear that?
I can hear you. I can't hear
them. Okay, so how does that sound? And so what is she's talking about all these drinks at the Swizzle Stick, and what they're going to go with. So you know, she's having a daiquiri with a corn dog? How does that sound?
Wow.
T, is that what you're doing? A daiquiri
yes,
with a corn dog?
Well, you know, it actually, that's the whole point. It pairs beautifully. I mean, the citrus You know, there's a lot of citrus, obviously, and it's fresh lime, and it hangs in there with the spice and the sweetness of this dish. It works beautifully. Wow.
And Lally, now I can hear you, and that sounds wonderful.
Good. We're going to try to make you thirsty.
Okay, Lally, so what are they serving at Commander's Palace?
Oh, well, at Commander's, we're doing our classic Tasso shrimp henequen, and we're pairing it with a...
Wait a minute, Tasso shrimp...
Henequen.
Henequen?
Yes.
What is that?
Yes. And well, that's the name of one of our favorite people in the world.
Oh, okay. So what's in it?
Shrimp, which is we use wild Louisiana white shrimp, and we use some Tasso ham and pickled okra and sweet onions and a 5-pepper jelly and a crystal hot sauce beurre blanc, and it is just heavenly.
God. A hot sauce beurre blanc. Wow.
And pickled.
Can you imagine trying to pair wine with that, though? Wow.
You could do it, Fred.
We would say number one beer.
Yeah,
yeah,
But otherwise, you'd have to go with a Riesling, don't you think?
Oh, okay.
And then,
yeah,
but that would work. But I must share with you that at lunchtime at Commander's we have, and at Sobu and at Cafe Adelaide we have 25-cent martinis. So you'll see lots of martinis
being paired with lots of cents. wait, did I hear you right?
Yes, you did. 25 cents
for a martini. People are going to start flying there right now from here.
Come on. The more the merrier. We decided that we wanted to have lots of fun around these places. And Dottie had an idea about 15 years ago, you know, sort of people who stopped having that two martini lunch. And we decided we needed to shake things up. And Dottie was like, girls, put on this, put on 25-cent martinis like we used to do at Brennan's on Rural Street years and years ago. And we're like, oh, Aunt Dottie, we don't think so. And shame on tea and moi, because the minute we put it on, it is like a party in the dining room. You walk through and you all these tall martini glasses with different colors to them, you know, because we make an apple martini and a Commander's martini and then a classic martini. And it's just fun. So, I do think that beer would be better.
Everybody here in the studio are shaking
their
heads.
There must be a lot of staggering going on there.
And you know what we say? We said limit three because we think that's enough.
Well, I would say...
three martini lunch. Wow.
On that note, we're going to have to take a break. We're talking with Lally Brennan and T. Martin from the famous Brennan restaurant family in New Orleans. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And have you been hearing the Preservation Hall Band from New Orleans? They're great there. Well, our guests are Lally Brennan and T. Martin. They're co-owners of the New Orleans famous Commander's Palace, Cafe Adelaide, the Swizzle Bar, and I think they have a new restaurant called Sobu. And they've been giving us tips for Super Bowl Bash, New Orleans style, and giving us a real peek of what's going on in New Orleans right now before the big day. So now it's dinner in minutes time. If you're making a New Orleans Bash at home, this is a really simple, easy dinner. It's great for two people. It's great for a crowd. Very easy to make. You can make it now, and you can freeze it and serve it on Sunday. It's a spicy mushroom and chicken chili, a one-pot chili, and the chicken and the mushrooms give it a light touch, and all of the ingredients cook in a big, large skillet, and you just brown the chicken in the skillet for a couple of minutes, then add some canned diced tomatoes, some jalapeno pepper. The amount of heat is up to you. A red kidney bean, some corn, chili powder, cumin, garlic, and mushrooms. And this all cooked together and simmer for about 15 minutes. And if it gets a little dry, you'll add some water. Then I sprinkle some cilantro on top, crusty bread. Couldn't be easier. If you're having people over, set it on the stove and let people wander around and help themselves.
So, Linda, how spicy did you make it for Joe and everybody?
Not very spicy, Fred. You know the routine.
Yeah.
Now, come on. They're getting lunch every week here, and, you know, they have to...
And we do nothing but complain, I know.
Exactly, right. All right. I said the heat is up to you, okay? Add some of that New Orleans hot pepper sauce. Well, the complete recipe, the ingredients and all, is at dinnerinminutes.com, photographed there. And there's another easy Super Bowl-friendly dinner in minutes, pasta fagioli. It's in today's Miami Herald. So you can follow me on the website or on Twitter at L. Gassenheimer. Okay, so Fred, are we drinking or what? Or have you already started?
I just want to let people know that even if they can't get to the big game in New Orleans on Sunday, they can at least drink as if they're there. The city has, I'm not talking about wine either. New Orleans has some wonderful signature drinks that can let the good times roll at backyard tailgating parties in Miami. Now, the first one is the Sazerac. I gather you haven't talked about that yet, right?
No, we haven't. And I'm sure T can, and Larry can fill you in on their Sazerac.
Yeah, this is was officially voted by the Louisiana legislature as the official drink of New Orleans. And it was invented in 1830 by a Creole apothecary. It's hard to say. It's a powerful blend. You start out with 3 ounces of rye whiskey. You put in a swirl of absinthe, which is the licorice-flavored drink that used to be illegal. You put in a few dashes of Peychaud bitters, which is based on gentian, which is a flower that first tastes sweet and then intensely bitter, and a twist of lemon. So I'm wondering, ask our guests, do you serve that at your places?
We probably serve that more than anything else. And it was really considered the original cocktail in the world, period. And the one little change I would make to how you said to do that is we would put the absinthe in the glass and just do a rinse, swirl it around the glass, and then, you know, pitch out whatever will come out.
Sounds like a waste of perfectly good absinthe.
Well, it might be, but it will overpower the drink.
I see.
We think, but, I mean, you do it. It always should be to your taste. But
just
that's
like the
how
spice,
we do it.
Yeah. Well, if you actually get to New Orleans and you want to turn out to be a real tourist, you can go to Pat O'Brien's establishment in the French Quarter and order his drink called a Hurricane. Now, this, if you've seen it on television, this is the tall red drink that you see the college boys guzzling as they amble through the French Quarter. In fact, a local newspaper survey found that 95% of all first-time visitors to New Orleans go to O'Brien's and have one. And here you start out with a 26-ounce glass shaped like a hurricane lamp, and you fill it with 4 ounces of rum, which is almost like making a triple drink, and then 4 ounces of Pat O'Brien's semi-secret hurricane mix, which may or may not contain passion fruit and some other ingredients, and you garnish it with an orange slice and a cherry. And if you like it, you can buy the mix at his place and take it home with you.
I have to tell you, Fred, that I have a hurricane glass from 2,000 years ago, whenever I first went to Orleans, because that's where we had to go. Tia or Lally, do you serve a similar drink at your restaurants?
We do. We serve. We actually started making our own version of a hurricane, and of course, we use all fresh juices and ingredients, and it's quite delicious. We enjoy it very much.
Is it 25 cents?
No, ma'am, it is not.
Fred, are we still drinking here?
Oh, absolutely. Finally, you're going to need the proper beverage to go with the famous New Orleans specialty of blackened fish. And in a blackened fish, in that recipe, you take a mild white fish fillet and coat it with a blend of, get this, paprika, cayenne pepper, white pepper, black pepper, dried thyme, oregano, onion, and garlic. And then you sear it in a white-hot cast iron skillet. And of course, the perfect drink for this is Dixie Brewery's Blackened Voodoo Lager. This is this beer is described
as Blackened kind of, Voodoo.
Yeah, Blackened Voodoo Lager. Doesn't that sound right for blackened fish?
Sure.
it's described as kind of sweet and nutty and caramel flavor, which might be just the thing for this really spicy fish dish. And then, so all in all, your New Orleans party should be quite memorable if you can remember it.
Well, let me ask Tia or Lally. We've been talking a lot about drinking. I suppose some other things go on. I mean, we do eat in New Orleans. So what are some other foods for the Super Bowl?
Well, I'll tell you, since you have your friend Fred here with the wine, I will mention for Super Bowl last night, we actually did a wine dinner with Jim Nance, who's the sports announcer who does, of course, the Super Bowl and all of ball games and golf. Because Jim has come out with a really fantastic wine called The Calling. And here at Commanders, we we just won this award we've been trying to win forever, I have to tell you, from a Wine Spectator called Grand Award. And so we're very serious about our wine list. Only 75 restaurants in the world have that. So we did a dinner with him last night, and a couple of the things that we serve with some of his wines are, we did a velouté of Gulf oysters with absinthe and artichokes. Mm. And we did that with a little opening cocktail that had a little punchatula strawberry and a little rhubarb, sort of a champagne cocktail, very light and refreshing. But then we did a blue crab and grilled corn salad, and it had a little grilled corn over the top and a little roasted pepper, some limestone lettuce, and we do a little sweet potato hay on top. And we did that with his Dutton Ranch Chardonnay. And anyway, it kept, yeah, so
we only have like a few seconds left, but what was the dessert?
Well, we, you know, it's that time of year. We did have to do the Ponchatoula strawberry shortcake, which we only do when the strawberries are in season.
Oh, wow. That really sounds good. I wish we could talk more about it. But it's been a really tasty and thirsty week, I guess. Lally Brennan and T. Martin, thank you both for joining us.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much, Linda.
We'll look you up next time.
Right.
We do. We're here waiting.
Their restaurants are Commander's Palace, Cafe Adelaide, The Swizzle Bar, and I guess Sobu. Best places to stop in New Orleans. Fred Tasker, wine columnist. Great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joseph Cooper and Bonnie, you ate well today. Was it
hot
enough for
you? I'm not sure about chicken chili, but all right.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Okay, next week we're going to be talking with TV network judge. He was judge on Chopped. Scott Conant, he's the owner of Scarpetta Restaurant. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And thanks for listening. Excuse me. Topical Currents is produced by Richard Ives. Technical direction from Caroline Brader-Watts. Paul Leary is online producer. Access and downloads of this and previous program are available at our website, WLRN.org. And more information at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Drop us a like, if you would. Tomorrow at 1, it's Ed Bell and the South Florida Arts Beat. Monday, we visit with author and human rights advocate Gregory Wallens, who writes about how key U.S. officials deliberately ignored the plight of Jews during World War II. Also, credit to Michael Stock today. And the calendar. On this day in 1972, 41 years ago, some 40,000 people filed past singer Mahalia Jackson's open coffin in Chicago. Aretha Franklin sang Precious Lord, Take My Hand at the service. And of local note, on this day in 1951, 62 years ago, the birth of Harry Wayne Casey in Miami, founder of Casey and the Sunshine Band. While working in a local record store, he noticed people often forgot the title of songs, so all of his tunes repeated its name throughout. Shake, shake, shake. Get down tonight. Keep it coming, love. And one more while we remember Tet Offensive and the Snow Machine. On this day in 1963, 50 years ago, U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara declares, quote, the war in Vietnam is going well and will succeed. Recipes at dinnerinminutes.com. And we leave with a thought from gospel queen Mahalia Jackson, quote, blues are the songs of despair, but gospel songs are the songs of hope. This is Joseph Cooper with Bonnie Berman and Linda Gassenheimer. Thanks for making Public Radio your companion today. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation.